In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We all know that the New Testament contains four Gospels. There are four accounts in the New Testament of the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But in the early church, there were actually many accounts of the life of Christ that circulated among the Christians in that early church. And it wasn't until nearly the end of the second century, almost 200 years after the birth of Christ, that the church finally decided to accept into the New Testament only those four canonical Gospels, the Gospels according to Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. But you know what? I did an internet search this week, and I discovered that Matthew and Mark and Luke and John once again have some serious competition. Turns out that there are some new Gospels out there, and these new Gospels give us a rather more updated and relevant Jesus. Here are a few of the titles I came across. Jesus, Entrepreneur, Using Ancient Wisdom to Launch and Live Your Dreams. The Leadership Secrets of Jesus. The Jesus Prescription for a Healthy Life. Jesus, Career Counselor, How to Find and Keep Your Perfect Work. This is one of my favorites. Jesus, the greatest therapist who ever lived. Jesus' 6 keys to a more perfect you. And Jesus, life coach, learn from the best. And on and on and on. And the common theme that seems to run through many of these modern gospels is the basic conviction, rather, that Jesus is really good at solving our problems. And the message which they preach, it is that in Christ we find someone who can smooth out those rough edges in life. Jesus can help you find a good job or start a successful business. He can help you achieve your dreams or grow your investments or get along with your in-laws. Jesus, it seems, can even help you lose weight. As wrong-headed as these Gospels are, we have to admit that there is a kernel of truth buried deep in their pages. Jesus does bring a message of great hope, of great comfort. In today's gospel lesson from Matthew, we hear our Lord speak of the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, and he points out that they are glorious in their beauty. And he declares that God, in his love for creation, ensures that they will receive what they need. And if God will do this for the flowers and for the birds, how much more will he do it for his children, for us? And so Christ says to cast off our fear about what the future will bring, reminding us that your Father in heaven knows what you need. And these words of comfort and reassurance, they are forceful. Jesus reminds us this morning of God's enormous love for us, and he offers healing to all who have been racked and riddled by anxiety and by despair. And so it's tempting to think that maybe, just maybe, these modern-day self-help evangelists are right. Maybe Jesus is the greatest therapist who ever lived. Maybe if his words, if we listen to them carefully, will reveal a hidden treasury of wisdom that will help us live longer and look younger and build a better portfolio. Let's be honest. Wouldn't it be really great if the self-help gospels were true? We do live in an age of anxiety. The last century, goodness, the last 200 years has seen tremendous progress. So much tragedy, so much misery as well. There's still so much disease, so much suffering, so much meaninglessness and uncertainty. But the Jesus promised to us by the self-help industry, the Jesus which solves our problems and gives us our dreams, this is not the real Jesus. Their Christ is a guru who has all the answers. Their Christ is a spiritual magician, someone who can wave a wand and give us what we think we need. Their Christ, to put it bluntly, is an anti-Christ, someone who leads us away from the life to which Christ calls us and towards a life which we think is best for us. And so we say that it is good that those self-help books are wrong. We don't want a Savior who fixes our problems. We don't want a divine mechanic, someone who will tinker with our spiritual engines until everything hums and purrs and once again fires on all cylinders. And the reason that a Savior who merely fixes our problems is not a Savior, the reason given to us time and time again in the pages of the real Gospels, Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, is that the Savior does not come to fix this world. The Savior comes to transform and to transfigure this world. Our crucified and raised and glorified Lord does not reach out to us so that he might give us his wisdom. Our Lord searches us and he seeks us out so that he might give us the gift of himself. And that is far more valuable than platitudes and strategies and easy affirmations. Jesus Christ comes to us so that he might be with us and labor with us and abide with us. And through his death and resurrection, a new creation, not a fixed one, but a new one is coming into existence in which the separation between heaven and earth is annihilated. God our Father does not pour out his Holy Spirit through his Son so that we might develop into better office managers or to get better TV reception. Our God is not a divine therapist. Our God is a consuming fire. And he does not call us to a life of self-improvement. He calls us instead to the same life that he lived when he was among us. He calls us to a life of self-denial, one in which we bring ourselves into alignment with his holiness and with his righteousness. Our Lord says at the end of the gospel reading, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." What a marvelous message. Something so bright, so much grander, so much more surprising than anything that you could find in the self-help section of a bookstore. When we seek the kingdom of God, when we seek his righteousness, when we strive to live lives of prayer and worship and holiness, then we bring ourselves into alignment with God's plan for us and for our world. And what does God want? God does not simply desire to bring our individual suffering to an end. God desires to bring all suffering to an end. And so the words of Christ this morning are far more valuable than a magician's wand. Christ does not promise to wave our troubles away. He promises to be with us and to enter into the sufferings that we undergo. And that's what the word compassion means. Compassion means to suffer with. And he promises to change that suffering from the inside out. He promises that through us and through our suffering, he will transform and transfigure this world into what it was created to be. And in the reading from Romans this morning, St. Paul tells us that God indeed has not come to take away our suffering. God has come, and through his Son, Jesus Christ, he has changed the meaning of suffering. St. Paul writes that through Jesus, we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. More than that, writes St. Paul, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. The hope that Paul writes of, that St. Paul writes of, the hope which Jesus brings is this hope of a new creation. At the heart of our faith in Jesus Christ is the belief that through his death and through his resurrection, the kingdom of God, even as we speak, is beginning to break into this world. Through his death and resurrection, all of creation is being renewed. We are headed for that great day of judgment in which God will finally, once and for all, throw away the death and the sickness and the suffering which entered his good creation through our sin and rebellion. That kingdom is breaking into this world now, and Jesus asks us to seek it every day. He asks us to love God and to love each other with all of our heart and mind and strength. And most of all, he asks us to say something you'll never read in one of those self-help books. He asks us to say to our Father, "Not my will, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Let us pray.